Today, I'm going to talk about some general strategy to quantize finite dimensional space spaces, which happen to be spaces of vacua or some quantum field theories in three and four dimensions. So the general idea is some finite dimensional vector phase space with a symplectic form. And my objective is to quantize it. And now we'll discuss briefly at the beginning of the talk what are the challenges we might encounter in trying to quantize a phase space. This is a problem that occurs in physics relatively often. And the strategy to do so is that I look at phase spaces which are spaces of vacua or supersymmetric vacua. For some theories with A-supercharges, so 3D or 4D. Supersymmetric quantum field theories. And then, after I've lifted the phase space to this setting, I can use some protected quantities in these quantum field theories. To find the quantization of the phase space. And the crucial feature of this procedure is that usually it's very hard to preserve desirable properties of your classical system when you quantize it. But it's hard to preserve symmetries or perhaps integrability, whatever you want. In the whatever features of the classical system can be anomalous and can be lost when you try to quantize it. And quantization is also not canonical. A nice feature here is that whatever properties of this classical system follow from properties of the quantum field theory will descend to the quantization. So this gives you a guarantee that you can do things preserving symmetries, preserving conserved charges or whatever else, commuting sets of charges and whatever else you want. So that's sort of the zeroth order motivation. Now, what I mean with quantizing? Let me perhaps be a bit more specific about that. So imagine that you have this phase space, symplectic form, and you have some observables. Are just functions on the phase space, the complex numbers, say. And that maybe form an algebra. Which is closed under Poisson brackets. It's a typical situation, right? I have a bunch of things I want to, a bunch of functions on the phase space that I want to think about, uses to do things. And I can multiply them, I can take Poisson brackets of them. So I have some Poisson algebra of observables. I might have other things I want to think about. For example, maybe there are some initial conditions, some boundary conditions for my classical system, which correspond to some Lagrangians, some manifolds in the phase space. That I want to quantize to initial conditions of my quantum mechanical system. And this might have nice interplay with observables. Maybe some observables will vanish if restricted to the Lagrangian sum manifold or things like that. So, and what I would like to do is sort of quantize the system in the sense of providing a Hilbert space with observables acting on it. And maybe some nice states inside. I don't particularly care about the Hamiltonian at this point, so ignore the dynamics and just sort of a kinematical problem. A way to think about it is that I'm trying to make sense of a path integral. Of some kind of topological quantum mechanics. I call this. So, you know, your classical integral of PQ dot in your standard examples of quantum mechanics. So, what sort of how would this sort of data map to what this sort of data map to under quantization? Well, I might want to have an Hilbert space and some quantum observables which form an algebra. H-bar, so that when I multiply them, I get some structural constants, which are the deformation of the classical ones, right? So that at the leading order, you get just the multiplication. And then in the next order, maybe you'll have the Poisson brackets, and then there might be further corrections. And perhaps I might want states which quantize the Lagrangian manifolds and which satisfy similar relations with observables.
So when this model of ambiguity is in the quantization?
Well, honestly, so the point is that you'll never be able to find things which do not have ambiguities.
Yes.
They're anomalies. So you'll have to make choices. And then you can wonder, are these choices possible? Can I do this at all?
I don't mean ambiguities to anomalies. I mean, like, you will have choices. Like.
Yeah, right. So this algebra is not the same as this algebra, right? It's a deformation of it. I might deform in different ways. This might not be canonical. There might be symmetries here which are not preserved here. And different people doing this dual job might get different answers with different properties. Right. So very often, if you ask too much from it, you will not find it. If you ask too little, you'll find stuff, many possibilities. OK. So there are, of course, some situations where we have familiar recipes. Like, for example, we are probably all more or less familiar with the case where the phase space is a cotangent bundle, which means that now you can talk about momenta and positions. And then you can also think about observables, which perhaps are polynomial in the momenta. And here, we more or less know how to quantize. We say, OK, let's promote the momenta to derivatives. And as for the Hilbert space,
but here, for example, you need some order, you choose some order.
Absolutely, yes. So the p, the derivatives transform in a similar way as the momenta under coordinate transformation. There is an ordering choice here. There's another fun subtlety, which is that you might want to say the wave functions are two normalizable functions of n. That's a very bad choice because it requires some measure. So okay, you can do that. You'll have then a non-canonical choice of measure. Or you can use sections, so two normalizable half densities, which means that your typical element looks like some function of positions times the square root of the measure. If you do that, you don't have to use a measure in defining in a product, but now your moment, your derivatives will shift by extra amounts whenever you go across the Jacobian for the transformations. Okay, that's a thing you can do. It's nice. Some Lagrangians quantize nicely too, some not really. For example, a typical Lagrangian might be the cotangent fiber at a point. That sort of becomes a delta function, very naturally. On the other hand, even the p equal to zero Lagrangian manifold, which is the base of the cotangent bundle, might not quantize nicely because of these Jacobians. Like this would want to quantize the constant wave function, but there are no constant half densities. So yeah, it kind of works. But there might be multiple ways you can write the same M as a cotangent bundle, and they're not guaranteed you to this to give you equivalent answers. There are variants to this. For example, something you can look at something called twisted cotangent bundles. Which means that your momenta transform sort of affine linearly as you move, as you glue together your patches. And this can be quantized by something like L2 normalizable sections of some other Lang bundle. So that, you know, when you have a function changed by some extra factor, so you glue patches and then your momenta get shifted by accordingly. But anyway, this is not an important point. Just to say, you know, there are strategies when M is special, and there are no general strategies which apply to any M. This strategy clearly does not apply to any M. It only applies to the ones that appear as spaces of vacua. So you might say, oh, this is too special. I could take that objection. But I'll now give you an example, a class of examples of manifolds which appear like that, and which I think are physically interesting. But before that, do you have any questions?
Does that amount to the full phase space, or just half?
The full phase space. So the full space space is the space of vacua, the quantum field theory. Now, typically, if you have this works for a very specific amount of supercharges. Three d n equal 4 d n equal 2. For which the spaces of vacua are symplectic, complex symplectic manifolds, actually.
Big hyperkeller or something to mark.
They are also hyperkeller, yes, secretly. But I'm not going to use that. Except for one point, which I'll probably not get to discuss. Okay. So, the case study is the following. The origin of this project, really, is that I was reading these papers on 3D quantum gravity, and I was you know, this 3D quantum gravity is supposed to be very closely related to complex chain Simons theory. And so I went to see how do people quantize complex chain Simons theory. And it presents challenges, which I believe are answered by this, potentially by this construction. So I want M to be the phase space of gauge theory for Chern-Simons theory for complex gauge groups. So the action is the difference between the Chern-Simons action applied to the connection minus the Chern-Simons action applied to its complex conjugate. This difference is nice because it's an exact, gives you an exact symplectic form, so you don't have to worry about quantization of your coupling. So there is just a coupling, one over h bar in front of the whole thing. And, well, yeah, this is what I would like to study. It's a finite dimensional phase space, as it usually happens with Chern-Simons theory. It,
A and A bar are not independent, right?
So it's a complex connection, so I can take it to some conjugate.
It's just that? A bar is just that?
Yes. You can write it in other ways. If you write the complex connection as a real connection plus a Higgs field, then this action is pretty much a BF theory plus BQ. So something like that. Yes, that's right. Then if you see, okay, wait, this is my V-bind, and this is my spin connection, and this is a spin connection, sorry. Then this is the standard action of 3D gravity with positive curvature in Lorentzian signature, or 3D gravity in anti-de Sitter Euclidean.
Some subtle, the metric needed to be in the,
of course, so I'm not claiming that this is the same as quantizing 3D gravity. So if you want to do 3D gravity, you have to figure out what happens to this phase space. Maybe you have to modify the story, but just I want to quantize the complex Chern-Simons theory and see if that can be done in a way that preserves the asymmetries and allows me to compute, say, path integrals over three manifolds.
But that path integral over three manifolds would not necessarily be the same as the 3D gravity path.
Absolutely.
Would you like it to be the same, or you like?
I would definitely love to figure out how to make it happen. But as a strategy, I would like to first quantize Chern-Simons theory and then see if I can somehow tweak something to fix it.
And what is this Kepp-Müller blah, blah, blah that people mention sometimes? Is it related to this?
So this is going to be the space of the complex theory. So this is GC flat connections. Modulo GC gauge transformations. What people call the Kepp-Müller space is a real positive piece of this complex phase space.
That is the one that is supposed to be gravity, right?
No, sorry.
What's the statement of the bar?
That is half dimensional, so I don't think it can be.
So what is it?
Well, I mean, it's answerable. Yeah, so.
I mean, the phase space of 3D is supposed to be product of two second order spaces, T1 times T1.
That's probably for a different negative curvature, perhaps?
Negative curvature.
Yes. So here I'm doing positively curved. So here is SL2C, not SL2R times SL2R. That's right. If it was negatively curved, then instead of this manifold, you'd have a product of two real manifolds, each of which would have a component, which is the Techmuller component. Yes. But I want to do Lorentzian and de Sitter. And then h bar is going to be related to the curvature, essentially.
And the same as that for the theta, less is known, and for that, the theta more is known. I don't know either. For
that, I'm not really an expert of the literature.
Okay. You mentioned the 3D gravity motivation.
No, it's my motivation. As I try to start reading the literature, and I get stuck right away, I decided to sort of understand the starting point first. Okay, so let me describe both some interesting observables and interesting states I would like to build. So observables, the simplest ones are holonomies. So this was connections on space. Which I call C. Okay. So if I have a path in space, I can take compute the holonomy of the connection. Take the trace in representation R, take about around L. So I'm my Riemann surface, my surface really. I take a path, I compute the holonomy. This is a complex observable. Its Hermitian conjugate is the path taking along, I mean, it's the integral of the anthropomorphic connection. Let me write it like that. And the reality condition looks like this. So. W tilde LR is W dagger of L inverse R in the conventions I'm using. You can do more complicated things. You can have lines that come together at junctions. This will happen, for example, if you try to multiply each of these observables, so we should include them all. I just label them as WA. And W tilde A, which is the same as the dagger of some dual junction. And this, a remarkable fact, which is not obvious at all from the definition, but I should agree in the symplectic form before I make statements. So there is a complex symplectic form, which is just the integral of del A wedge del A. And then the symplectic form I'm interested in is the imaginary part of the complex symplectic form. Now, the same thing I want to say is that it's not obvious at all, is that the Poisson, these observables are closed under Poisson bracket too. So if you try to take the Poisson bracket to show these holonomies, you get a sum of holonomies or webs. Of holonomies. So you can sort of apply the definition with a little bit of work, you can see it, but somehow when you take the Poisson bracket of this, you get only a contribution from where the lines intersect. There is kind of a semi-classical limit of a skein relation, which tells you how to reconnect the lines to get the Poisson bracket. And because I'm looking at the imaginary part of the symplectic form, the Poisson bracket of holomorphic things is the opposite to the one of anthropomorphic things. It's just a convention. Okay, so these are the observables I might want to have acting on my Hilbert space. And then some states, suppose I have a three manifold whose boundary is in space. Then I should be able to sort of, then I can look at the space of classical solutions of complex chain sum of theory on this three manifold, which go to some solution at the boundary. And this is give me this will give me a Lagrangian sum manifold of M. And ultimately, I would like to quantize this. So I would like to say, to each three manifold with boundary, I can do a path integral on this three manifold with boundary and produce a state. And this is sort of the part of the answer which, in particular, seems to be tricky to find in the literature. Now, the classical, so the traditional way to quantize this phase space, quantize complex ensemble theory, goes back to a paper by Witten. So Witten proposed to add the information, equip C with a complex structure. If you do that, then you can split your connection into a 0-1 and a 1-0 parts. And if you look at how the symplectic form looks like, you can recognize that they are sort of conjugate to each other. It's A10, A01. So you can try to define wave functions which are sort of functionals of the 0-1 part. Perhaps more precisely, you can say that M is pretty close to being a twisted cotangent bundle. To the space of 0-1 connections modulo gauge, which is also called the space of bundles. So you can try to describe your Hilbert space tentatively as some space of twisted F densities on Ban G, on Ban. And if you look more precisely, you find something like that. Something like that. This is the canonical bundle. Excellent. Okay. This is a pretty good definition of Hilbert space. The space of bundle is actually quite singular. It's a horrible stacky points. But you can sort of throw away the bad points and pray that L2 normalizable things are sufficiently permissive that throwing away this loci is not a problem. So you can get the Hilbert space. I think Braverman Kasdan have a note where they give a rigorous definition. But everything else is really hard. So, for example, these observables are not polynomial in the momenta. It's very, very hard to describe them in that language. You can borrow very heavily from technology of 3D CFT. Just construct something called Verlinde line operators and try to make a definition in here. Really challenging. There's some kind of very intricate integral operators. The complex structural dependence is annoying, but it's not really a serious problem. The same 2D technology, 3D CFT technology, gives you a Knipsnik semiological connection that you can use to transport a wave function as you change the choice of complex structure. So that's not too bad. The thing that I really get stumped on is I have no idea how to build states attached to three manifolds in this formalism. I mean, for some very special three manifolds, you can sort of guess an answer in terms of conformal blocks of Kasmoudi algebras. I don't really know how to build the generic tree manifolds.
What is the problem? It's a problem because you need a complex feature or
I think ultimately the problem is this complex structure. That at all stay, at all sort of intermediate steps, you want to remove surface to have a complex structure. But it's kind of difficult to draw a tree a complicated tree manifold, slicing it with a complex structure at all times. You can perhaps, but I just haven't seen good constructions of this. And right, BAN is also a pretty complicated space to think about. It's known. So yes, not easy to use this technology. No, you need the complex structure to define the polarization, to present M approximately as a twisted cotangent bundle. Let's say it is approximate. M is not a twisted cotangent bundle. There are the places where band G becomes singular. And some other random places in band G are places where this correspondence breaks down. So there are bundles which are stable but not very stable. And there, this breaks down.
Are they the points you were saying you threw out when you looked at?
Yes, yes, that's right. Which means that, I mean, something I didn't mention and I should have mentioned. So often these observables are not bounded. So these operators you build tend to be, can very well be unbounded operators. So it's not, to even make a statement like I multiply them, I need to have some domain where I tell them act. Right? I need to have some domain inside of Hilbert space and such that that hat maps it back to itself and it is dense. And then this allows me to define distributions. And very often these states that I'm trying to build will land into the space of distributions. When I quantize some nice cotangent bundle, you can imagine that your domain is perhaps, you know, infinitely derivable functions on N or something like that, so that you're vector fields act nicely and your distributions are just supported at points. But when you try to work with BAN, building the Schwarz space is precisely what gives mathematicians a lot of trouble. It's difficult. It's difficult. There are ways, but it's challenging. And then the distributions are also difficult to describe. Because they're not just points, you know. There are things that look like delta functions, but they're not really delta functions at points of this space. There are complications, and right. And then there is this problem: I don't know how to build states labeled by tree manifolds. So, okay, it's nice. I have a Hilbert space, but I cannot evolve.
And what is that notion? Because I understood that the Hilbert space was composed of functionals on my space on this Bund space.
Yes.
And then why would I like the intuition to associate a three manifold to it? Sorry, I don't know enough about
it. So these are, the Hilbert space is attached to the to space. Now, in a three-dimensional quantum field theory, topological like that, I expect it if I have, say, an evolution between two surfaces, I should be able to do a path integral on this three manifold and get a map from the Hilbert space to the Hilbert space. This is what I really do not know how to build using this description. I mean, I can imagine something like, you know, I evolve my complex structure using the KZ equations, and then at some point I will hit some singular geometry maybe. And maybe I will try to figure out how to keep going. The KZ equation will diverge in some way there. I'll have to sort of find some way to deal with that and continue with a different topology. So I'm not saying this is not doable. I just haven't seen it done.
But all these issues, isn't there rising compact usual transamos?
The usual transamos is much more forgiving because you can do surgery.
how to search everything?
I do not know how. Well, precisely because I don't know how to build these manifolds to start with. But yes, so I don't know how to do surgery. Essentially because in user transcendence theory, when you look at the space of states on the torus, it's a finite dimensional space labeled by lines. Here, it's going to be an infinite dimensional space labeled by some continuous family of Gukov-Witten-like lines of disorder operators. Now you get integrals instead of sums. I need to figure out how to deal with that. But I'm not saying it's not doable. I'm just saying this seems to be a hard way to do things, which it's hard enough to justify my desire to look for a different strategy. And the strategy is motivated by this observation that this moduli space is the same as the 3D Coulomb branch of a four-dimensional n equal 2 SQFT of class S. So this is a class of four-dimensional theories which are obtained by computifying a six-dimensional theory on a Riemann surface. And it has some space of vacua which reproduces this phase space I want to quantize. And so I can throw it to this general machinery to produce a quantization. So in particular, I need to... Yes, it means that is the space of vacua of the 4D theory compactified on a circle supersymmetrically. So I call it 3D or on S1 times R3, or K-theoretic is also another name.
No, 4D is a compact.
It's a theory of class S. It does not have a gauge group potentially. As a definition, it's not defined by Lagrangian, although in some cases it is. It comes down from M theory to U. But the point is that it exists. And by virtue of existing and having specific properties, it guarantees that these phase spaces have a quantization with those properties.
So,
and it's also computable in examples, like as you choose. Right, so what I'm saying works best when G is ADE, but you can generalize. But yes, let me say ADEG for simplicity. The Riemann surface can be decorated in a lot of different ways, which, doesn't matter. So the protected quantities which give a quantization are something called the Schur indices. So we'll now discuss how taking this theory and computing its Schur indices gives a quantization. Now I think I need to start erasing. While I erase, if you have any questions, it's a good time. Okay, so in all of these sort of problems from 3D or 4D theories, the way you produce a quantization follows a uniform pattern. It's a kind of a small variant of a GNS construction. So so the first thing that the supersymmetric quantum field theory gives you is an algebra. The second thing it gives you is a trace, a twisted trace on this algebra, a map from the algebra to the complex numbers, which satisfies two properties, together with the an anti-unitary algebra map, such that trace of AB is equal to trace of rho squared BA. This is the trace condition. It's like a trace, but the cyclicity is twisted by this rho squared, which in a lot of cases is one. So if I'm doing a Riemann surface without any fancy boundary, any fancy decorations, rho squared is going to be one. And crucially, there is a positivity condition. So this positivity condition means that you can define a Hilbert space. You can define an inner product on the algebra. And you can define a Hilbert space just as the closure of the algebra itself under this inner product, which means that the Hilbert space has a sort of a collection of a dense collection of states, and there is an action of the algebra and its opposite on the Hilbert space. So I can define something like A CTU dot B as being just A, B, C. So this gives me an action of H, A, and of the opposite of A. On my Hilbert space. And if you remember, this is precisely the sort of thing I wanted here. I wanted an action of two copies of some collection of observables, which were holomorphic and anti-holomorphic functions on this phase space, and which were conjugate to each other. And as I was saying, because I'm using the imaginary part of the symplectic form, that the anti-holomorphic algebra sort of opposite, as the opposite ordering as the holomorphic algebra. So this is precisely what's happening here. Also, it's easy to show this. So I get precisely a nice action in Hilbert space, which have the action of holomorphic operators and anti-holomorphic operators. They're normal, conjugate to each other. And commute, so an operator and its conjugate commute, at least when they act on this dense basis. And yeah, so this is the output of the quantization. And to apply to this case, well, you need to sort of compute the Schur indices, which will give you this trace.
I missed an important point.
Yes.
Can you remind me why this Coulomb branded theory of the circle is the same as that space?
Yes, that I can do. Absolutely. So the 4D theory is, morally speaking, the 6D theory on C.
Yes.
So now, if I want to put the 4D on S1, that's the same as the 6D. On C times S1, but that's the same as the 5D theory on C, 5D Yamils on C. So once you're here, this is just a theory of connections. You can convince yourself that the gauge connection plus one of the scalar fields combine into a complex connection and give you this. Okay, so this is the general structure that you encounter. You always have some algebra with a positive trace, and this automatically gives you everything else you need. Of course, you should ask, okay, how do I get these sort of states? So what this quantization strategy gives you is the following. If you have a boundary condition, for your theory, then there are other correlation functions which give you inner products, which give expressions like this. So essentially, they give you a distribution. In the dual to your dense basis. And right. Another aspect of this is that the space of flat connections on M3 that have bound, which agree with some connection on C, is also a space of vacua. For some boundary conditions labeled by M3. So the same sort of technology of putting the 6D theory on M3 gives us three boundary conditions for the class S theory, which, when thrown into this machinery, spit out candidates, states, which are attached to three manifolds, and behave well as you play with your three manifold, like if you compose them, if you act on them by these observables, and so on and so forth. So, you know, around 10 years ago with Dimoft and others, we worked out how to build these boundary conditions and verified that at the level of sort of the algebra, they behaved well. If you just throw these boundary conditions into this construction of a Hilbert space, you will get distributional states with the desired properties. Okay, I have 10 more minutes. Maybe I can discuss a little bit more in detail how you get this sort of quantity from the four-dimensional theory. But any questions before I move to the last part? Okay. Now, this looks very abstract, and I can try to show some examples. The calculations can be extremely explicit. So these potential quantities I'm discussing, the Schur indices, have formula. If you know a Lagrangian for your theory, you can write down a formula. If you don't know the Lagrangian, it's some bizarre non-Lagrangian theory, but you know the BPS particles of the theory, there is another formula. And there are general strategies to find the BPS particles of all of these MGN, MGCs in principle. So this is completely explicit. It's just a matter, it's an algorithmic complexity, but it's not a conceptual complexity. So what is the Schur index? Now, if this is a conformal field theory, this is a specialization of the superconformal index. But I'm not going to care about superconformality much, so I'm going to ignore that point. So just think about it like that. The basic Schur index just counts operators, local operators in your theory, up to Fermi number, you know, with minus one or to the Fermi number inserted, and perhaps counted by a twisted spin, the difference between a spin and R symmetry generator, which commute with a supercharge. So by the usual sort of Witten index argument, you can convince yourself that this is a robust quantity which does not depend on the coupling, does not depend on any continuous property of your theory. Now, this is just, by itself, this will be just, you know, a function of this parameter q, nothing else. It becomes more interesting if you add to the story half BPS line defects. So what you can do is to take a collection of line defects coming together at a point. And compute the Sure index for the operators that live at this intersection point. So this will give you an I, a1 to an of q. This index, again, invariant under continuous deformations. For example, you can change the slope of the defects if you play around with some parameters to keep the supersymmetry constant. You can even fuse them, or you can try to bring them all around. And two facts happen. The first is the diffusion gives you new line defects of the same type. Now, here I should make a long story about K-theory classes of defects versus defects and all of that. I'm not going to try because we have 5 minutes only. But let's say that there are some multiplicities that appear in the fusion of line defects. Multiplicities are sort of carry spin information. So when you're sort of computing these traces, you get some multiplicity coefficients, which are functions of Q. This gives you an algebra, which happens to be a quantization of that algebra of functions on the Coulomb branch. Essentially, if you turn off this Q parameter, then you get the usual, then these line defects wrapped on a circle are the basic observables of this, whose expectation values are the parameterized at the Coulomb branch. When you turn on Q, you deform this multiplication a little bit. So you should think about Q as being essentially e to the 2 pi minus 2 pi h bar. So essentially, what I'm saying is that IA of Q ends up being identified this trace of A. So you can argue that it has all of these properties, where rho is a certain map that tells you what happens if you take a line defect pointing up and you sort of rotate it by pi to get a line defect pointing down. Okay. So the Sure indices are just power series in Q. Convergent in between 0 and 1. And as I was saying, they are fully computable if you have a Lagrangian, or if you know information about the BPS spectrum of the theory. And so this gives you this trace as convergent power series in Q. And then by that, you get your Hilbert space. And you can also define what's called a half index, which sort of is relevant when you have a boundary condition and perhaps a bunch of lines attached to the boundary. And this one, so this depends on the choice of boundary condition and one or more line defects. And this we identify with the inner products, which are required to define. Is this distribution of states we're after. And so, yeah, the outcome is that you get fully explicit quantizations of these phase spaces with the observables, the various observables acting as explicit normal operators with a collection of nice states and so on and so forth. One last thing to mention is that there is a generalization to this story where you think about Riemann surfaces with boundaries or crosscaps. That gives you corresponds to looking at quantizations of a real slice in N. And that can also be done using this technology. Okay. Any more questions?
I got confused about something very basic.
Yes. So this index roughly is a partition function on S1 times S3, where the product is twisted a bit.
And
this picture maps to something like a picture where there is S3 with many points on the equator.
But you need to have some charge neutrality condition.
Yes. So if this was an abelian gauge theory, then definitely the trace of anything which has an overall monopole charge vanishes. In a non-abelian gauge theory, there is only the sort of the center symmetry which would be a constraint.
Question. So it seems like the main utility is constructing the Hilbert space, right? Like that seems like the hardest thing to obtain in general, is that right?
Yes. So well, the Hilbert space together with states inside the Hilbert space.
Yeah.
So
if I forget that kind of data and the boundary conditions and stuff, is it otherwise like basically Fedosov quantization? I mean, agrees with that type of prescription of quantizing and symbolizing manifold?
Are you thinking about deformation quantization or quantization? Right, like, because here I really care about the Hilbert space.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So yes. If I forget about that, it agrees. Because you said here that the operators weren't polynomial or something.
Yes. So now you can totally ask in which sense is this a deformation, this AH bar here? In which sense is this a quantization in the deformation quantization sense? In the 3D case where you work with standard Coulomb branches, it's literally a star plot. That product.
Okay.
So I hope it comes.
So I should agree then.
Right. In the 4D case, I'm not completely sure. It's sort of like a Q deformed story. So that's, deformation quantization will give you naturally polynomials in H bar.
Yeah.
This gives you polynomials in E to the H bar. Of course, you can expand them. There are a lot of integrality properties for this. For example, these numbers, these are little numbers. These leaves, these are elements of Z.
Like these should be
of Q.
Over half series in H bar or something.
Right, so these are not over power series. They are just algebras over Z of Q. Or Q Z to the minus H bar.
Is there a way to understand from these three indices what states correspond to three manifolds? The initial question which you asked.
Yeah. So you need to find the boundary condition which implements the three manifold via the class S sort of construction. And then you throw this, you compute the half index of this boundary condition in the presence of line defects, and it will give you the distribution.
Like, in principle, this is computable, sure, if it's from a boundary condition.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Especially in this sort of picture, you have the BPS degeneracies in the story, then everything can be done by triangulating your 3D manifolds At some point, so ultimately you make contact with sort of Dimofte's perspective on how to quantize Celsius-Cheech and Simons. So Dimofte gave an alternative prescription how to quantize complex chain Simons theory, which uses sort of cluster structure on the moduli space of flat connections. That works especially when the Riemann surface has a bunch of punctures. And if you apply the sort of the infrared formula to the Schur-index calculations, you will land on the sort of quantization proposed by Tudor with the extra data of these dense bases, which was not there necessarily if you just look at that part of the literature. So in that literature, you have a Hilbert space. You have algebras possibly acting on the Hilbert space, formally acting in the Hilbert space as difference operators, something like that. But you sort of miss a nice domain where these operators would act. So in that context, you need to do things like prove pentagon relations by hand. Here, they sort of fall automatically. The construction is.
But it was for the same way. It was also for a complex gauge group and also for the same type of boundary conditions.
Well, initially the technology was developed for Tech-Muller space.
Yes, with different boundary conditions.
Yes, but you can adapt the technology to this complex setting as using a certain complex version of the quantum logarithm. Then you need to convince yourself that it satisfies pentagon relations. That's typically a hard step, but here you can sidestep it. So you can use this, for example, to prove the pentagon relation for the complex logarithm.
From this course, but why is it also put to answer the original problem?
The conclusion is that this gives you the answer to a quantization, a way to get the quantization. Something I would like to, that you might want to know, if this quantization strategy agrees with Witten's quantization strategy, is something that I think I'm convinced of. But and also, right, this is SLC or GC. You might want to figure out if you can do gravity with similar strategies, and that I don't know. Really, gravity.
So from this area around you
Yeah. So I feel okay with quantizing this now. Yes. Okay. No more questions?
Thank you.